say who you are.
Magnus Bergson, CMO at CCB.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. So the way that I got these questions basically was I spoke to the Slashdot community, and the way that we do interviews is, you know, we ask people what they're interested in hearing. So most of these questions are basically directly from the readers, what they want to know. So if they're bad questions or you get angry, don't get angry at me.
I don't get angry.
That's good. There was that scandal thing. Unfortunately, I'm going to start with that one.
Okay,
that scandal thing
that
happened recently.
Yes.
Could you sort of, explain to folks, what happened?
Yes.
So that we can hear directly from you what your take on the situation,
People need to know that when the issue with this one developer happened, which was last summer, all of the management team was actually on a summer vacation. And the people in charge then, they basically decided to handle it the way they handled it. And they just made a really bad decision the way they managed that whole thing. But they did the best they could, because we had never done nothing like this had ever come up, and this goes so much against the CCP mentality and the corporate culture that in our naiveness we never really thought that anything like that would actually happen, because CCP is our baby, and this basically is like hurting your own baby, which you just don't do. And the person that did it, which I know really well, he doesn't understand himself. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, they mishandled it absolutely, and we've stated so in our blogs. And from that came a number of rules that we have now for our own employees. We have an internal affairs department that does nothing but monitor our employees to absolutely ensure that nothing like that would ever happen again. But there are some people still that think that CCP as a whole is trying to help one alliance in game. And it's so ridiculous. I mean, for anybody to think that, it just doesn't, why would they ever do something like that? So we just mishandled it, then we tried to correct it, and I think we did the best we could with the situation while it was. And that's how it basically was. We just made a mistake. We have not dealt with this type of thing before. It's part of, growing up, getting a bigger company. You have more people. Now we have more people. We have people in Shanghai. We have people in Atlanta. So I guess, you know, all these rules and regulations that we now have set for employees are good. But people have to realize that, you know, we are working on EVE because we have a passion for the game. We will be playing the game. It would be horrible for EVE and the community if the CCP employees would not play the game, because the game gets created in the hands of the players. It's critical for us to have people playing the game just to know what's going on. And we actually did a survey, and we found out that it's a very even distribution of CCP employees in the top 10 alliances. So, and those people would never allow somebody to be, you know, working against their alliance.
Right.
So it was a mess, and I think we in the end we came and did the right thing. But now people know at the company that if you anything like that, you would do something like that, you would basically get fired. But we couldn't double judge in that same case, you know, double jeopardy, if you want to compare it to that, you know, and you know, that's basically the short of it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for going into that. I know it's probably not something you guys want to touch on a lot right now. Do you think then, with the internal affairs department set up and the action you've taken against the people involved, do you folks basically consider this matter closed? I know that some of the comments were in the area of there's still some mixed, and obviously since it's so fresh in people's minds, it there's still some mixed feelings there, but do you guys basically consider this matter closed at the moment?
That case from our end is closed. I mean,
okay.
we've done all the investigation. We know it was only one person and not the whole company like some like to believe. There's nothing more that we feel that can be done. It was just an unfortunate case, and in the overall scheme of things, it didn't affect the game in that, like some people like to think. And you know, in the end, we're just damn sorry, and it hurts our feelings to see some of the players say some of the things about us. It's just because we love this game, and we would never do anything to hurt it. And to have people think that this is like a widespread thing within CCP is just as far from the truth as it possibly can.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So I think one of the things that people really were frustrated by with that is kind of the ex-hardcore. EVE has kind of this reputation as a very tough game. And obviously there are a lot of people that really enjoy that. Why do you think that the hardcore nature of the game appeals to someone?
Wow. That's a big question. EVE can be very hardcore, and it can also be very casual game. It really depends on how you play it.
Okay.
But most of these people that are commenting mostly on the game, on the forums and so forth, are the hardcore players. They've been with the game for many years, and if you live in 0.0, it's very hardcore. It's a very, you know, dog-eat-dog world, and I'm, for one, I live there. I'm one of those hardcore players, so it's just the threat, the big death penalty, and the amount of strategy you have to employ, and the amount of thinking you have to do, and so it's a big challenge, and I think these people really enjoy the challenge.
Yeah. So in your estimation, the fact that it's not like, say, like more like a World of Warcraft or an Everquest 2, where death is not a big deal, you guys see that as a definite strength for the game, basically?
Oh, absolutely. The reason that people team up in corporations and then corporations team up in alliances is because there's this inherent big threat of dying and losing a lot of money. You can lose months of work in 30 seconds. And this forces people, because of human nature, to band together and create relationships where I am saving somebody's life. I'm saving somebody's 3, 4, 5, 6 months of work. So you create very strong relationships, because you don't have an opportunity in real life to rescue your friends from death.
Right.
But in EVE, you actually get, hopefully, but in EVE, you can get to do that on a daily basis. And that's what creates these really strong feelings, these really strong relationships that are such a big part of this game. And because it's so open-ended and it's so totally different from a game like World of Warcraft, which is a very structured game experience, a great game though, but it's just different. So when people have done that type of a game, it's kind of a natural progression for them to step into something, let's say, heavier and deeper and more rewarding in the end.
Totally. So another thing that came up a lot in comments were the sort of, I guess, backseat designers. You mentioned the folks in the forums who have been playing this for a number of years now, and they obviously have very strong opinions on where the game should go. How do you balance making those folks happy with attracting new players, people who might be more interested in the casual aspects of the game?
Well, we have to satisfy most people, so it's always a balancing act. Sometimes we take an upgrade and say, okay, now we're going to focus on this part of the game because we haven't done it before. And often when you dive into one part of the game, there are a lot of associated things that come with it. So sometimes we might actually be focusing a lot on the newer players, and then other times we might be focusing a lot on the hardcore players. But we try to do our best to have our expansion so they actually touch on something for everybody. So, but sometimes we do more for the other, but we always try to do something for everybody. It's a balancing act, and there's a big group at CCP that discusses this on a daily basis. We of course get input from the CCP employees that are playing the game, because we have people at every single level. We have Empire Dwellers and 00, or let's call them KPS. I like to call them that. And then everybody has their input, and in the end, some features get selected as the best ones.
Okay.
And that's it's a long process, and it's a difficult one.
Could you point out a feature that was added recently, or with the last group of features that you guys really thought was really good for the more casual players?
Yeah, the new player experience, which we spent a lot of time and effort on. That was just for the new players, just to make it easier for them. And we are still working on adding a lot more to that. So we have like a team that is dedicated to that aspect of the game. Yeah. So we're always trying to improve that part, because when you get thrown into a game like Eve, which is so open-ended, and there's no hand-holding, you really need to help those people. And those people are going to see a lot of new things. This year, there's a lot of new things that we're working on, helping them getting into the game and understanding it. Because you don't really see it; you just get thrown into this big world. And if you don't have a friend that's already playing, it can be a little tricky.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because a friend of mine was recently trying out some games, and she tried out your game, and she was a little off put because of. Sometimes Eve has this reputation for being such an intimidating game, but she found the new player experience extremely intuitive. In fact, she said that it was more intuitive to her than, say, like an EverQuest 2,
wow.
Which has like a less, it's directed, but, in Eve there's very much the step-by-step thing. So this is going to be a focus in the future. There's going to be a team that specifically stays on the new player experience.
It's been on this for a long time, that team. So it's something that we are extremely aware of, and we're always trying to make it easier. But it's not easy making those first steps really easy without making them like real boring. But I think the new player experience is very good. I think it takes the people into the right direction and shows them a lot about the game. But as with Eve, in its nature, you have to bring something to the table. You have to take some actions. You have to take responsibility for what you're doing, just as in real life. There is no manual for this side of the screen, so we'll try our best. And there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing very shortly from now to help people get in.
Can you give me an example?
For instance, just helping people as they're in the tutorial, pointing them out to certain things via email. Staying in touch with them, that's a huge thing, because right now you might skip something in the tutorial, but there's nothing that really pulls you back. There's nothing that really points you, why don't you go and check this out? So we're going to be doing a lot of that stuff, more trying to track what people are doing and sending them appropriate notifications about, hey, you should be trying this out.
I guess to kind of pull back deal with the obvious Slashdot's very technology-oriented site, and some of the questions were very much on the technology. There's been PvP wars in the past few months that, in the opinion of the posters, kind of highlighted some server limitations, some hardware limitations. Are there any plans in the future to change the scale of the world at all? Perhaps move to multiple. Servers?
No, we will not move to multiple servers. What we're doing right now, there's actually, and has been for the last 4 or 5 months, all of our developers are focusing on one thing right now, is the need for speed. Because in Eve, you have larger battles than in any other MMO. We had the other day, not too long ago, a battle of 1,000 people in the same system. You don't see that in any other MMO. And we want to continue supporting that and allowing them to do these large battles, but we also want to create incentives for them to have smaller engagements, which actually in the end are more fun for the player.
Certainly more understandable.
Yes, but you know, having 1,000 people combat on the same system, it's a massive requirement on the servers,
yes.
Which today they weigh 2 tons. The whole cluster weighs 2 tons. So there's a lot of work being done. We're still, you know, implementing new and new optimizations for the client and the server. And the hardware it's running on is you know, we can't get any better hardware. So we have to focus on the code.
Okay.
So there's a lot of effort being done to allow people to have these big battles.
Excellent. I know you probably are disinclined to give out exact details, but for the technology nerds, for the server nerds out there, can you give any details about what you are running the game on? You mentioned the weight. I mean, now what are
for instance, the we don't have hard disks on our database server.
Okay.
Those are solid state hard disks, which have previously only been used for military applications, and those are extremely high output. They're called RAMSANs, and that's one indication. We're now moving everything to 64-bit architecture, and everything is running on IBM hardware. And IBM has been a really great partner for us to work with.
Okay.
So we get, you know, the latest hardware from them as soon as they possibly can deliver it.
Right.
So we're always updating the hardware. So we have invested many, many millions of dollars in just the cluster on the hardware side.
And I'm not sure if this is a question that you're interested in answering or all that's something that you'd be interested in, but there was one gentleman who was very interested in stackless Python and how that's worked out for you. Do you find that it still meets the demands of the thousands of players that are playing the game right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Stackless Python, because it's a stateless environment, is one of the keys of why Eve is actually capable of supporting all its users. And we've been working really closely with the Python community. We had a Python convention in Iceland that CCP actually orchestrated, and we've supported the PyCon conventions. So we want to see more development on that end, and there's some interesting things happening there. So we will continue using that.
Okay, so then you definitely, looking back, you definitely wouldn't have done it differently.
It's one of the best things that happened to Eve in the beginning, was to actually select that.
Do you feel the way about MS SQL?
Yeah, it actually has worked really well for us.
Okay.
We've worked really closely with Microsoft, and it has performed really well.
Okay.
So that was the right decision, and still is. There are no issues with the database. No other database will be able to perform better.
Okay.
Not in our opinion. So there are no issues there. And Microsoft has been, like I said, really good to work with.
As I was talking about a little bit earlier, White Wolf, people are very, very interested in what you guys are planning. And I know obviously you can't talk a whole lot about plans right now just because you're still very much in the initial phases. But I guess first question would be, can you shed some light on why you folks got together? Like, what was the rationale there?
White Wolf has some assets which we didn't have. They are extremely good storytellers. They have a lot of expertise in physical distribution. They can create board games. They are now writing the Eve manual. They're writing an Eve strategy guide. They are going to help us with putting Eve into physical distribution, into stores. Then, of course, they have this fantastic IP, which is World of Darkness, which we are converting into an MMO and are working on right now. But I don't have any more information about that yet because it's early stages. You know, we're still designing the gameplay and everything else.
Okay.
But we are very committed to making that into an MMO.
Okay.
So that relationship has actually been fantastic.
Okay.
And the team at White Wolf is actually working with some aspects of EVE Online right now. So to add more storytelling missions and so forth into the game.
I guess that's very interesting. Do you know when that kind of stuff might be? We might see that in the game?
I don't know the release schedule of that specific the missions and so forth, but you know the strategy guide and the player guide, which is you know badly missing right now or needs updating. That is something that's an ongoing project right now, and hopefully will be ready as soon as possible.
I know you really can't use very much the planning season, but I have to ask: are there plans to use sort of the whole World of Darkness license, or are you thinking about? Is right now thinking going more towards like one of the specific parts of the World of Darkness, and then it maybe expanding?
We just don't know yet.
Okay.
This is exactly what we're doing right now is figuring out exactly how would the game actually play, how would it actually be. So anything I would tell you about that would probably be a lie right now. So I don't want to make a liar out of myself. Yeah. So no, that's just something that we are working on right now. We just don't know yet.
Okay. Let's see. I know you folks. I believe you personally you spoke with them. Brent from Virgin Worlds the other day, and I know that he was very impressed with some of the avatar elements that you folks are planning to put in the game. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The project is called Ambulation, and what it does, it will allow the pilots to step out of their spaceship and walk in the stations. And in the stations, you will have corporate meeting rooms. You will have services like recruitment centers in certain stations. People will be able to make and sell items like clothing. We are not going to turn that into a first-person shooter. People will not be able to shoot each other in the stations because that's just a whole different game. So what we're focusing on doing is making sure that the gameplay in the stations works well with what happens outside of the station. We put a lot of work with the university in Iceland on behavioral analysis. They have a specialized team there that has been studying that for years, and our AI is going to be quite interesting. You will not see avatars just going through like a routine of animations when they're standing still. They're actually going to be emulated out of human nature or human behavior. So we are doing everything we can to make the avatars to be as human-like as possible, and we're going to put a lot of work on making them look really realistic.
Okay.
So hopefully it will be somewhat of a breakthrough in avatar development. At least we have some ambitious goals for it.
When you talk about gameplay on the station, I mean, does that mean there'll be more than just, say, meetings and recruiting? There's actually going to be like some game elements there as well?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
We are deciding exactly. Some of them have been determined, but until it all gets finalized, it's better to allow the developers to have some leeway to work with. And the game designers, but yeah, there are definite ideas about what will be allowed in station. So there will not just be you stepping out of the station and that's it. There will be something else in the stations.
Good deal. Usually, when I do an interview, I like to ask, is there something that you want to say to the people that you're working with? The customers, the players. Is there something about you that you in particular find really interesting that you want them to know?
Well, I think anybody looking for a game experience that is, let's call it smart gaming without sounding arrogant, if people are looking for something like that, I think they will find EVE quite interesting. It's a very strategic game. Some people hate it, but I hope more people actually love it and try it. But it's a type of a game that you grow with, It's a more of a long-term commitment than probably most other MMOs right now. And it's a type of a game that leaves a lot behind. It's quite rewarding because all of the things that you accomplish in the game, they are the result of your actions. So it definitely is more than a game in that sense. And we as CCP, we don't actually consider ourselves in that sense as a game developer. We are more like a service provider. We are providing a sandbox for these people to live in, or universe, and we are very much a hands-off company on what happens in-game, and we don't want to be gods over what users do. We just try to influence a little bit here and a little bit there and respond to the users.
Just about covering it, so thank you very much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Good questions.